This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This week, hey everybody, Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. First timer, been here a long time, everybody's welcome to this party. No doubt about it. What are we talking about in these United States and beyond our borders? What really binds us all? Well, Ukraine and what's going on with Russia and the latest on what the people are doing to survive. And in some cases, some of them are thriving. And I say thriving because they've escaped, they crossed over the border, and many, many people are helping them. We're going to talk to my pal, Greg Stebbin, who we've had on the show several times as he went into Ukraine and has stationed himself in Poland, but has plenty to say about what he saw and what the conversation is. And boy, there is some interesting conversation, some of it that we're not really hearing in some of the reports that are coming out of Ukraine. So we'll get to that in our next hour. In the meantime, Democrats and Republicans are reacting to a SCOTUS memo. This was huge scuttlebutt on the day, that indicating that perhaps Roe v. Wade would be overturned, reacting to what Politico is suggesting. That's where I saw it today, suggesting that the court is actually seriously pondering a decision that would overturn the landmark 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that established a constitutional right to abortion. We know abortion is a hot-button issue in key races in this country, and with midterms coming up in advance of those. So the high court was potentially closer to reversing the nearly 50-year-old ruling, and letting states decide what abortion restrictions to enact, and we've seen some of that happening, and there certainly are massive mouths on all angles of this. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer, both Democrats, had a joint statement that they issued saying the Supreme Court is poised to inflict the greatest restriction of rights in the past 50 years, not just on women, but on all Americans, if the report is accurate, if it is accurate. Josh Hawley, in the meantime, said, I will say, if this is the court's opinion, it's a heck of an opinion, researched, tightly argued, and morally powerful. He tweeted that out. We know that the world turns on what candidates and what politicians say on Twitter. And then Tudor Dixon, a Republican gubernatorial candidate, was widely quoted from Michigan saying, we've come a long way since the Roe v. Wade decision. Technology allows us to see our baby before birth. Miraculous medical developments now make it possible for babies to survive outside the womb far earlier than when that decision was made. Truly, so much has changed, but what has never changed is the preciousness of life. So there is much political power behind this, but will we actually see the end of Roe? The opinion leaking, if this is accurate, is a huge story. The court has no comment. That's not a surprise. But everybody else on the Hill, just across the street, has plenty to say. Will the decision allow each state to decide whether to restrict or actually ban abortions? If that's true, I would imagine that's exactly what the interpretation will be. And that's a shocker, a 50-year law flipped, if that is accurate. What say you, America? We're going to do our unofficial poll here. Send me your thoughts. Thumbs up, thumbs down. It is a hot button. It is. Kate at Kate S. Delaney, or not Kate at Kate S. Delaney, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. So that's the best place for our unofficial poll. It is officially scary as hell when a tornado is bearing down on you. We have talked about Mother Nature so many times. I have to mention this at the top. I was looking at, as many of you may have looked at too, tornado footage that out of Kansas that would make you have your hair stand on the back of your neck up straight as dozens of buildings were leveled. And this was in the Wichita area. In my young reporter days, I used to spend some time there, and I got to know what tornadoes were, but I don't think I've ever seen anything quite this big. The tornado damaged more than 1,000 buildings. So hear me right, 1,000 buildings from what I understand. This happened in south central Kansas. Winds were up to 165 miles an hour. There was a path of destruction nearly 13 miles long. 13 miles long. Wow. And when it's on the ground and it's going, 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 and you're watching that, from also what I was able to ascertain, 20 minutes. That is an eternity. And looking at the incredible video, it is frightening to think how many people scrambled to stay alive in the middle of that. What is it like when a tornado hits, smashing into a YMCA in Andover, Kansas, smashing into all kinds of buildings from restaurants on down in a very short amount of time, but lengthy in the sense that it was on the ground for how long it was on the ground. It seems like every other week when I crack open this mic, we're talking about some sort of tornado somewhere that has done some incredible damage. And this would be one of those. Top of the list. One of the worst that I have seen. Now, on the other hand, so far, no loss of life. That can change where maybe some people weren't found. But right initially, no loss of life. That's the silver lining in all of this. You can replace businesses with heavy hearts and some dollars and houses, but you cannot replace people lost to any kind of a tornado. So therein lies the one little sweet spot, the one little sweet spot. Because as soon as I see that, I think, how many people were in the buildings? Where were they? Did they get to safety in time? How are we seeing these incredible videos? Who's taking them? How far away are they? Coming up, more on Ukraine situations, plus odds and ends across this great country. And then your thoughts in the mailbag coming up as well. Plus a conversation with Tom DiCaprio. It's not all business. You like him. Finish out the hour.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Ibarroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Half a million people have fled Ukraine. At the same time, we know that there are people that are returning. And we also know that there are people that are getting on the other side of the border at one particular area that's called Medyka. We're going to talk with Greg Stevin in our next hour from Poland. He just was there, and he has a lot to offer in painting the picture of that Ukraine Poland border. So what's happening with ambulances for Ukraine? Because they're using them as mobile hospitals. That was part of what he was there for. 70 plus were blown up by the Russians, taken, absconded in many other ways, and they're vital to what's going on around the country. The other thing that's going on with Russia, to get you up to date, because I get lots of emails. What do you know? What have you heard? I gave a couple of dollars when I could at the grocery store, raising money to help the people. And that's good, because that money is helping the people. There's so much that they need. They're looking for people. They're exhuming hundreds of bodies in Ukraine. Imagine you are missing a family member and you just know that they are buried and you want them to have a dignified burial. That's one aspect. The other is Russia's planning to annex new areas of Ukraine, according to our intelligence. So Moscow has decided we're going to take some swaths of this territory in the next coming days, and that's what we're going to do. Even though Russia's struggling in the key areas of battle, but it is a move by the Kremlin to formally claim, as part of Russia, the eastern Ukraine regions that they can, a couple of the places that they're able to do that. And there's three different cities where they're trying to make that happen. There still is a massive battle. This would become unpredictable. Maybe the biggest explosive time in this entire invasion. How are they going to do it? I mean, we know that in the Crimean Peninsula, they did that in 2014, but there's a big difference to what is happening in Ukraine. The loyalness, the fighting, all of that, of the people not giving up different territories. And Soviet flags keep popping up over Russian-occupied Ukraine spots. Still a dangerous, dangerous time. And I think that's interesting because the push is for Putin, and we know this, was the land grab the whole time. That's not something we haven't heard before. But Russia does control big chunks of territory in the east and a little bit in the south. They want to consolidate the areas. The suggestion is, according to some of our intelligence that's been leaked out there, that the goal is to build a coastal corridor from Ukraine's separatist east to the major city of Odessa in the west, and to go in that direction. But Russia hasn't been able to turn off Ukraine's access. The outside world is paying attention from the get-go, from the early stages of this invasion. Paying attention and trying to help. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is set to address Ukraine's parliament through a video link. That's happening Tuesday, delivering a speech that is echoing a 1940 version by wartime leader Winston Churchill, when there were some dark days of World War II, if you've read anything about World War II. Johnson, according to what's been released, will say that the British people, like Ukrainians, now showed such unity in the fighting against Nazi Germany that we remember our time of greatest perils, our finest hour. How many times have we heard that? The finest hour. Will this be Ukraine's finest hour? And for the Brits, they're going to unveil $375 million in new military aid. He's going to say that during his speech, which would include electronic warfare equipment, a counter-battery radar system, GPS jamming equipment, and thousands of night vision types of devices. Also, they're going to send a dozen specialized Toyota Land Cruisers to help protect the civilian official types in eastern Ukraine and evacuate other people from frontline areas. That was a big request from President Zelensky. So remember, Johnson made that surprise visit weeks and weeks ago in the beginning of April, where he said Moscow's war was inexcusable and pledged to ratchet up sanctions against Russia. So this is very, very, very big. And all of this, combined with what the United States is doing in other countries, is helping to continue to feed the people what they need, feed the war what they need, feed the weapons, feed what I just described. We move back to our shores, because I think this is part of odds and ends. It's very odd, but we've heard this story before. What is it, and what is so mesmerizing about inmates to a woman who is a female corrections officer, sells her house and escapes with an inmate. There is a manhunt in Florence, Alabama, for this escaped murder suspect and this corrections officer. They've been missing for days. The corrections officer, Vicky White, has charges hanging over of committing or facilitating an escape. What was she thinking? She participated in the escape with the inmate named Casey White, according to the sheriff's department down there. Was she willing or was she coerced or threatened? They say they're not sure. Well, she sold her house. I don't know what the threat would be. They have no idea, but they say we're going to hunt them down. And I believe they're going to hunt them down, saying they will be brought back to justice. And it's the same old thing where people are shocked. We knew her. We know her. She's a good lady. How could this happen? We don't understand. Oh, she must have been coerced. It doesn't make any sense. And here's the kicker. She'd been talking about retiring for the last couple of months. She turned in her paperwork. The day she went missing, two of them went missing, was supposed to be her last day at work. So they're poring over video to see if she spent an extraordinary amount of time with this guy or not, because she had several opportunities to be in contact. She was a 17-year veteran of the sheriff's office. They say an exemplary employee. People are devastated. They don't understand it. This Casey White, two counts of capital murder in September 2020 for stabbing a 58-year-old woman. He could face the death penalty if convicted. How does he lure her in, rope her in, and make all of that happen? There is a $10,000 reward for information leading to Casey White's capture and $5,000 for information leading to Vicky White, and their mugs are up all over the place. All over the place. All right, speaking of being up, sadly, coronavirus is up as many people are testing positive in New York, on the East Coast. The numbers are climbing. Although the vice president tested negative for COVID-19 coming back to the office. But as somebody said to me at a party over the weekend, do you honestly think that any of us are going to escape this with not getting coronavirus, that none of us are going to get some form of COVID-19. So the cases are up, the weekly change, 23% at this point. Somebody asked me through the miracle of the email, which is coming up, the mailbag, how many people are fully vaccinated? John Hopkins University says 66.2%. But the virus mutations, my friends, aren't slowing. And this new subvariant certainly shows us that. Mailbag coming up.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
A Ukrainian official tells the Washington Post that about 200 civilians, including 20 children, remain at the steel plant in Mariupol, where Ukrainian soldiers continued to refuse Russian demands to surrender. Civilians started to evacuate the plant over the weekend, this woman speaking to NBC News.
There were 40 of us, this woman says. We boiled 2 buckets of soup, and that was our meal for the whole day.
Some of the civilians left for Ukrainian-controlled territory. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov on Italian television not only repeated the false portrayal of his country invading Ukraine, he also suggested Hitler was Jewish. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, among the many who condemned the remarks.
They tap into the very old and very poisonous notion that the Jewish people themselves were the architects of the worst human atrocities of modern history, even when they were aimed at Jews themselves. Mr. Foreign Minister, you're fooling no one.
This is USA Radio News. Almost two-thirds of workers at an Amazon warehouse on Staten Island, New York, rejected a union bid. The Amazon Labor Union is weighing whether or not to challenge the results. It scored a surprising victory at a nearby facility. An Oklahoma judge is allowing a lawsuit seeking reparations for the survivors and descendants of victims of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre to proceed. The suit was filed in 2020 under the state's public nuisance law. Vice President Kamala Harris has tested negative for COVID-19 nearly a week after testing positive for the virus. Her press secretary, Kirsten Allen, says Harris was prescribed the antiviral treatment Paxlovid. CDC guidelines say people can leave isolation on the sixth day after testing positive as long as they wear a mask around others. Allen said the vice president would do so for another few days. A late rally by big tech erased a slump on Wall Street Monday. The Dow rose 84 points. The Nasdaq gained 201 points. The S&P 500 added 23. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
So first up, this from Jenny, listening to us in Tucson, Arizona, KVOI, I'm certain of it. And Jen says, wow, so sad to hear about Naomi Judd's death. What an icon she was for country music. What a classy lady. I've seen her and Y perform probably 15 different times in my life, and always entertaining in different venues. And I just can only imagine what it would be like for both of her daughters. She talked about the heavy depression that she struggled with for so long. And wow, right before she gets inducted into the Country Hall of Fame, the details weren't released, and I think that's good on the family to keep it close for now. But her death at the age of 76, what a heartbreaker. Rip to Naomi Judd, and my goodness, heavy prayers have to go out to Y and Ashley Judd. It must be awful to lose your mother that way, especially someone who is so visible and really inspired and helped as many people as she could. Oh, yeah, it's a terrible story. So during the 80s especially, they've had a three-decade career. They last sang, and they were about to go back on tour. They last did a performance, last sang together like 3 weeks ago, and they've got hits that people know the words to, even if they aren't country music fans. There were songs that just hung out there, and they had many, many, many number one hits. They had 14 number one hits. That's pretty impressive. Lots and lots of hardware, but the hardware doesn't matter now. It's very sad that this legendary singer, they say suicide, but no details. Like I said, there is an investigation that was released by the law enforcement types and the coroner's office, but what a very tough, tough thing for that family to deal with. Really, really sad, sad story. Mm. All right, we move from that, and I think a lot of people are reacting to that today. Lots of people in country music and elsewhere. We move from that to Joe, who says, "Hey, Kate, the story about the sailors, you talked about that last week, the suicides, and on this one book, the one boat, the USS George Washington. Do you know any more details about it? I think it's freaking awful that that's going on, and I hope they're getting help." Well, this on the heels of what I just said in response to Jen's email, and this is Mental Health Awareness Month, May. The boat, the aircraft carrier, was docked at Newport News, and they were working on the boat. My husband was in that situation for 6 months where it was a new, this is getting renovated, where he was doing the plank on a new aircraft carrier at the time, the Stennis, and he said it was really hard work, really awful. But he only had to do it for 6 months. They've been doing it for years, years, terrible conditions. And there was even one of the sailors that took their life calling the parents and saying, "Oh, this is terrible, terrible." And they're saying, you'll get through it, because that's what we think of with the military. It's tough. You got it. You can make it. But apparently it's much tougher than that. I mean, the Navy is trying to boost mental health support for the crew. So they've got a clinical psychologist, a licensed clinical social worker. They've got referrals for mental health appointments. They're saying some people can be off of the aircraft carrier. It's got considerable maintenance, and they're still working on it, so it's going to be there for a little bit longer, and this is what they're dealing with. The latest deaths include the senior enlisted sailor in the Navy, Master Chief Russell Smith. He visited the crew. So at that level, he visited the crew after the latest rounds of deaths. And he was asked by a sailor about what's going on with the high levels of suicide and mental health problems, specifically with ships under maintenance. And he said it is a special challenge, because how many people signed up to go to a ship in a yard? In a shipyard, it's different when you are a ship worker and you're getting paid the whatever you're getting paid an hour. You're civilian, and the civilians are telling some of these guys in the Navy what to do. And how many people want to be in dry dock and doing the things that you do to get the ship ready to go to war, ready to ship out? Which was the point of my husband Paul told me how tough that was. He said it was awful. And he said, "I could not have done that for the years that they've put in." He's pretty tough. Couldn't do it because of those conditions. You know, the conditions, they're not optimal conditions. And it's tragic. I mean, terribly tragic. I think anything they can do to help, you have to have sympathy. I mean, they're aware of the suicide. They have a problem. They're focusing on it. But try beating suicide. Try beating suicide. And we've had plenty of people on this show to talk about that. Ever feel depressed, like you couldn't get out of it? Imagine and focus on that for a second and multiply by what they're going through. I just saw a quote today somewhere. Beating suicide is like trying to get rid of cancer. It's a disease. I've said this for such a long time. I don't understand why we isolate people. It is a disease. And it's one that is hitting us in so many areas and so many walks of life in this country. It's the worst, I think, that many health professionals in that field have seen. All right, Mac in Connecticut says, what's wrong with those Amazon workers? Kate, why would they not want to have Amazon? Why would they not want to do that and have the ability to raise the level on their incomes and just what it could add? I'm not an Amazon pusher, but I don't understand the logic in all of that. Do you? There has been a pushback for a while in some of, to unionize is what you're talking about, in some of the spots where Amazon is to unionize, and in others, people are all about it. So I think it just depends on where. And the New York City union, Amazon workers in New York City rejected the union. So that's wild, right? New York City, Staten Island? I guess I am surprised by that. Because of, I thought that they would vote for it. But what am I not privy to? The specifics of some of the conditions, what they feel about the union, some of what we know that's out there, but the real inside juice on this. So these Amazon workers at this warehouse on Staten Island overwhelmingly rejected that union bid. I mean, this just happened on Monday. Organizers thought that they could pull off the first very successful organizing effort in Amazon's history. Warehouse workers cast 618 votes, about 62%, against the union. So giving Amazon enough support to fend off a second labor win and just raise the question as to whether the first victory was just a weird fluke. This is the thing. The National Labor Relations Board, they oversee that process. 380 workers, like 38%, voted in favor of the grassroots union. Turnout was 61%, which I said, with about 1,600 workers eligible to vote, with a voter list approved by Amazon. An Amazon spokesperson said that the company is glad workers at the warehouse were able to have their voices heard. What are they going to say? And we look forward to continuing to work directly together as we try to make every day better for our employees. That's exactly what I would say. What are they going to say? But the momentum seemed like it was really, really there. So is it a fluke or not? Some of these votes are probably going to be up in the air. It's probably harder to organize, by the way, part-time workers, because they don't have as much at stake. They're just trying to get the coin and maybe move on to something else. So the relationships would be different, and there are a lot of part-time workers in that situation. So that's what I think. That's what I think happened there. All right, I want to squeeze this one in. This one is from Tony, who says, here we go again. I have a sister that lives in Kansas, and I'm telling you, we're going to go and build her some kind of a shelter. She did not live in Andover, but pretty close to it. And I looked at the size of that tornado and the damage that it did and how long it seemed to be on the ground, Kate. And I'll tell you what, there's no way I'm going to let her be vulnerable like that. How do you protect yourself against those 150-mile-an-hour winds when you're in a house, I don't care what it's made of, that cannot withstand that, and you're just playing Russian roulette with Mother Nature? Do you think more people will get storm shelters? Well, I would be looking into it if I lived in that area. Definitely. 1,000 buildings? Winds 165 miles an hour? 13 miles long? That was a path of destruction? Oh, yeah. I would definitely, if my house was still standing, I'd be looking into it. All right, you can always email me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
Hey, guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
DiCaprio joins us. He's got three books, actually. We're going to talk about Black Friday, Deception, Ruthless. Tom and I had a wonderful off-air conversation, so I'm very pleased to introduce you to him. Tom, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome, Kate.
Let's talk about writing. What led you in this direction?
I've been a very avid reader since I was a kid. I was sick quite a bit, too, growing up. Having a lot of like bronchitis, flu, whatnot. Had a weak immune system growing up. So as a result, I did a lot of reading. And along the way, it inspired me to be an author. After reading Dead of Honor by Tom Clancy in 1994, it inspired me to become a spy novelist.
Wow. So I love the story of, yeah, I had some time, I had a weak immune system, and it led me into being a voracious reader. So now here you are with these books. Let's talk about the first one. What was it like writing the first book?
I wrote it in a matter of 2 weeks. It was during National Novel Writers Month in 2012. I only found out about 12 hours before it began. Had a rough day at work. I'm like, hey, this sounds like fun. So I started, and I was in a zone, and I finished it within 2 weeks.
Wow. 2 weeks. Congratulations on that. You were motivated. So then, as I said, we've got the three books we're talking about, Black Friday, Deception, and Ruthless. Tell us about those books. Tell us about the main character.
In Black Friday, The main character is Ian Daly. He had been a Department of Homeland Security employee with a lot of tragedy in his life. His wife was killed in the Pentagon on 9/11. He had raised twin daughters by himself. He was juggling Homeland Security, twin daughters, and a major fear that it could happen again if he wasn't careful, as another attack, another tragedy in the family, quite possibly. As Black Friday begins, there was chatter at a mall. Chatter is as in the Middle East. He's like thinking to himself, you know, we already have a presidential recount that's going crazy. We also have chatter from the Middle East. And he's thinking to himself, history could be repeated once again if we don't learn from our past mistakes.
And then you're off to the races. And what an interesting concept, and horrible, remembering 9/11 and these twin daughters and what that's like for him. And would you say Ian's a strong character?
He's a strong character, but he's also very human along the way, too, like every one of us.
Boy, isn't that the truth. What do you hope people take away from reading your novel, Black Friday?
I hope that they learn that from the same one of my professors in college once said, history only repeats itself unless we learn from our past mistakes.
Yeah, learning from our past mistakes. And then we go to Deception, and tell us about the plot of Deception.
Deception's about a CIA agent who's preventing a modern-day Ottoman Empire from rising up from the capital of Mecca. The leader of the Mecca Caliphate is an Islamic scholar by the name of Muhammad Abd Ibrahim. At the time when I wrote the book, he was like 100 years of age at the present. Had seen a lot of the Ottoman Empire fall, the rise of the State of Israel, and a bunch of other things that shaped his life. And he decides to come up with this idea where he would fund scholarships for minority citizens of various Western nations. He would help them through college, but in turn, he would groom them to be leaders of their nations. So when the time comes, he resurrects the Ottoman Empire, puts the capital in Mecca. Those nations will automatically join the empire. It's kind of like a Manchurian candidate of sorts.
Yeah, I like the image of that Manchurian candidate. And so how interesting, you know, where you take us on the first journey and the second. And then Ruthless, what's the plot for Ruthless?
Ruthless is like more or less a modern-day spin on the Kennedys, LBJ and the Bushes. But a young, vibrant president gets assassinated, and his vice president takes power. This vice president, in particular, knew two of his childhood friends would be prosecuted. He could be booted off the ticket. So he orders to hit on the president. And the president's son, who was very little at the time, wants to find out what happened and take revenge.
Wow, wants to take revenge. How do you come up with your ideas for the, you know, you said you were such a fan of spy novels, so I guess that has the influence. And do these characters and do these ideas and these plots just sort of come to you and pour out?
Yes. I also get inspiration from news stories and whatnot, anything, you know?
Right. And do you have a, it'd be interesting for the listeners, as an author, do you have any kind of a ritual you do, or no? It just is when the book is with you and the characters are coming out, you just let it flow.
It's a combination of both. At times, the ritual takes place in November, National Novel Writers Month. And I tend to pregame by watching Interview with the Vampire around 8 p.m. on Halloween. But a lot of my writing I tend to do with R&B music, some jazz, and whatever comes to mind.
Yeah. Wow. So for you, has this just been a great trip to be able to write novels the way you have been and to come up with different storylines?
Yes. Also, along the way, I've had some writer's block, some health issues, and some other mishaps in life. But everything's back together again, and the writer's block has been lifted. I'm working on the sequel, and as well as prequel and sequel. So my next book, Off the Grid, it's going to be a sequel to one of my novels. Also, a prequel and sequel to another novel. And I guess I can tell you right now, it'll be a sequel to Deception, but the prequel and sequel to Black Friday at the same time.
Ooh, so we're going to hear more about Ian Daly.
Yes, and also another character, J.T. Vincent. Kind of like a Jack Ryan, Ethan Hunt.
Nice. Yeah, and
there's so many places that you've already taken Ian Daly, so that'll be fascinating to see where that all ends up. And for you, once you see the books published, that has to be a kick. Is it just, you know, something to see, wow, I mean, here's one, here's another. Is that something pretty special for you to see those books?
Yes, every time it's very special to me. It's like my dream coming true and continuing to come true and going to other next level and then some.
Yeah. Well, of course, like you said, you know, you think about going back to being a kid. You think about National Writers Month, the novelists, and the influence of the books that you read. And it has come full circle. There's no question about it. What else do you want as a kind of a parting shot? What else would you love for the listeners to know about you? Where else can they find out more about you? Of course, they can get all your books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
They can definitely get on Amazon. And also, ironically, saying it's because I'm at Barnes & Noble right now. It's working off the grid as a way to pregame, kind of relax before our interview.
Smart. They're in the shelves with all the books. It has been delightful to talk to you, Tom. Thank you so much, Tom DiCaprio. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Kate. Thank you for everything. I appreciate everything that you do.
Here's what I like about Tom DiCaprio. He decided he wanted to write, just like me, right? He was this voracious reader. He mentioned it, Tom Clancy. You think of Robert Ludlum. You think of those writers and what they have out in the world. And he keeps doing it, right? He has the characters. It's about having those characters that people are intrigued by. And if you like those kinds of novels, it's like Black Friday, you think of this. Could the nation become divided? Hello, by another controversial presidential recount. Didn't we go through that? And then what happens? And what happens with the threat to the administration? What happens when you put another twist in it? And what happens when it's Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, which is something we all understand and still you see malls jammed, outdoor stores, outdoor malls jammed, and that's the perfect opportunity for a strike. But could it have some other kind of meaning? I think that is pretty intriguing. And I also liked when he was talking about Ruthless, and then there you go again. You take a New York governor and a Texas senator, and you look at a Democratic presidential nomination, what happens when you've got political families and they do that feuding? That's never happened, right? And what happens to the United States in between Ruthless? So his titles pretty much nail some of what's already happening in the world, right? But his characters, that's what you need, that great character or two to carry you through a sequel, a prequel, any of that kind of stuff. So we wish him the best. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. A tip of the cap to Nathan Reeder, our technical advisor for this one. Make it count, everybody.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.